Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Wednesday. Middle of the week, no Packers practice, but we're still here talking with you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do. And speaking of worldwide, Packers announcing a trio of events in Europe this fall, one in Dublin, one in London, one in Berlin, for the NFL international games that are being held in those cities. No Packers games. Packers aren't going over there, but the Packers actually making some inroads to cultivating a fan base that has existed for a very long time, but the Packers have somewhat kind of ignored. They will be having events in these cities for, you know, the Saturday before the games on Sundays. Packers specific stuff. I know there are a lot of people in the States, in Wisconsin in particular, that aren't fans of the international push, but man, I am a huge fan. I am a monster fan. That's why we always talk about Packers fans worldwide. I've met you guys both in London and in Brazil. It's amazing. I love the passion of the international fan base, and I'm thrilled to hear that the Packers are finally doing something to embrace all of the literally hundreds of thousands of fans around the world. Interesting that it's a year late. Should have done something in Brazil last year, but be that as it may, I'm very excited that Packers fans across the pond are getting a nod and getting at least something to connect to their favorite team when the NFL is in town and playing these games, like I said, in Dublin, in London, and in Berlin. That's exciting stuff. I'm very excited about it. Also excited about joint practice tomorrow with the Seattle Seahawks there at Ray Nitschke Field, the final public practice prior to the last preseason game on Saturday. Get out there, man. I know our Tyler Herrick will be on site. It's going to be exciting. I think he's there with a bunch of friends, a bunch of folks that you guys probably know out there on the internet. But that's it, and that's all she wrote. And then we get the 53-man roster on Tuesday. Kind of wild. I remember back in the days when we had multiple cuts. Now it's just 90 to 53. And, of course, a 16-man practice squad. But, you know, I know anybody who's watched this channel or consumed Cheesehead TV for any length of time has heard me make the quip, the joke, if you will, when asked if I'm worried about a certain aspect of the team or worried about this or that. And I always pretty confidently say I only worry about my children. And it is somewhat a tongue-in-cheek. I'm joking a little bit because, yeah, of course, there are things that concern me when it comes to the Packers facing, say, a really tough defense or a really good team. Or, you know, it's only human nature that is going to doubt, little doubts creep up in your mind. But mostly, no, I don't worry about the Packers. But there certainly are, heading into a season, areas that I think, you know, this could be a problem or this could be an issue or this could be something that opponents target or try to take advantage of. And just looking at the roster and trying to do my own little kind of 53-man thing, you know, and looking at the depth charts and how position groups fall and where they might go light and where they might go heavy. Man, I'm fascinated to see what Brian and company do when it comes to cornerback and by extension safety, but mostly corner, and how they kind of shape this secondary. Because, man, I'm telling you, I feel pretty damn confident about the front. I feel really confident about the linebacker group. I don't know about the secondary. I think there's a lot of unknowns there. And of course, a big component of that is not having Nate Hobbs out there for the majority of camp. That injury he suffered early on really put a damper on the ability to get him out there and see him in this system and see how Hafley might utilize him. But then, of course, Xavier McKinney has missed a boatload of time, and we won't see him until week one. So some of it is kind of the unknown, right? But even then, man, you know how the NFL works. One injury, and all of a sudden, the cascading effect in your secondary can be very, very real. And it's something that really hurt this team and this defense last year. And I'm very interested to see what the plan might be if there were to be, you know, an injury or two. Who are they going to count on? And right now, I would suspect it's Bo Melton and Carrington Ballantyne, right? Like, there's little doubt that when you look at the reserves and the guys with even a few pelts on the wall, so to speak, it's not a deep pool, right? You got a lot of potential there. I think Kalen King's had a good camp. Don't doubt for a moment that Robinson has looked good. The limited amount of kind of reps with the front line that he's had, which has been few and far between, but he's looked good. But man, you don't get through an NFL season unscathed. And there is little doubt that some of these guys are going to have to play at some point. And it's no doubt, even with the frontline starters in there, where you're talking, you know, Hobbs, Valentine, and Nixon at corner. And then even with Williams across from McKinney at safety, these are going to be targets for opposing offensive coordinators. These are guys who are going to be game planned for. And that's why, you know, I remember when Halfley was hired, we got very excited at the prospect of, oh, they're going to be potentially more physical at the line of scrimmage, maybe a bit more man coverage. And certainly that didn't materialize last year. Now, some of that was due to the fact that they couldn't get home with four and they had to do a lot of different stuff on the back end. And then there were injuries that meant that Halfley had to move things around and keep things maybe not simplified, but much less kind of schemed up, ginned up, exotic, etc., because of the, you know, cascading effect of not having your top guys out there. I do think you're going to continue to see a boatload of cover two, a boatload of cover three, and precious little actual man coverage, which that's fine by me, right? Like in the NFL these days, the amount of kind of schemed up stuff that takes advantage of man coverage, it's no joke. A lot of really good coordinators and game planners out there that can take advantage of that stuff, regardless of the talent you have on hand. So I get the vision-based thing, and I'm excited about year two in Halfley's scheme. But, man, these guys are going to have a target on their back, and I am anxious to see how they respond. And I don't think there's, you know, I'm not telling any tales out of school here. I don't think I'm being unkind. I think it's a legitimate concern. And I was hoping going into this summer that we would see, you know, just signs of, oh, this is really a group that's taken that step and really kind of found their comfort zone in Halfley's scheme. But it's certainly been an inconsistent group throughout training camp. We've seen precious little of it in preseason. So, yeah, if there's an area where you're looking at the Green Bay Packers heading into 2025, I feel really confident about almost all of it. The secondary, they're going to have to show me. They're going to have to show us. They're going to have to show not just fans, the media, but opponents that this is not where you want to go. This is not where you want to attack. And I suspect, you know, week one, coming into Lambeau, the Lions, they're going to have stuff with Amon-Ra St. Brown in mind, you know, trying to get him isolated on Nixon, love to try and get inside Nixon's head. You know, it's happened both kind of the last two games, Nixon and Amon-Ra St. Brown going at it, jawing at each other. They're going to have targets on their back. And I, for one, am very anxious to see how the secondary responds as a whole and the cornerback group responds in particular. We'll see. A couple weeks away, a lot of ball game left, but that's where my head's at the moment. Good to see everybody in the comment section mixing it up already. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for chiming in. You guys know what's up. I gotta give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. Hell, go see the Packers Saturday at Lambeau Field. It's going to be a lot of fun taking on the Seahawks. Final preseason game. Tons of dudes fighting for jobs. Always a good time. Menace starting us off with a super chat. What's going on, man? With millions, billions spent on daily fantasy and sports betting, do you think NFL teams should have to be more upfront with injuries? Looking at you, Cincinnati, with T. Higgins. I'm sorry, man. I got no sympathy. You enter into this of your own accord. You fantasy players, you betters, you. I got zero sympathy. I wish they'd be less forthcoming just to fuck with you guys. Because if I got to see another goddamn FanDuel ad, I'm going to jump off a bridge. No, they should be less forthcoming. Sorry, I know I'm an old man. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I hate it. I hate this Pandora's box that's been opened with sports betting and daily fantasy being integrated with the NFL. Remember when Tony Romo was punished and fined for having a fantasy, like, or participating in a fantasy conference that was like next to a casino? And now they like do stuff in Vegas. They have a team in Vegas. Like, man, I'm over. I'm so over it. I think it's bad for the league. I think it's bad for the product. I just wish if there was a way I could discourage it like tenfold, I would, but I can't. So no, I don't. You know, you want to bet? Good luck. It's not the team's job to help you. Luke, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. That new hat is fire. I'm really excited to see our defense this year. I like our cornerback group. So you're the one. I'm kidding. And thanks. Yeah, the hat is the new sideline hat, which I know some people hated. I really liked it for a change because usually I hate the sideline stuff. But unfortunately, I don't have a link because it's not an affiliated product, obviously. There's a link for this shirt in the YouTube video here. But the hat, I think I got from New Era, but I really like it. So you might see it again. Thomas, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Clickbait or are the Dobbs injury rumors true, being cleared and refusing to come back? Anyways, we back Nag so close. Thanks for all you do. Go Pack Go. Man, I have no idea what you're talking about. He was at practice the other day, catching the ball. Say what? No idea, man. That is some true clickbait. Unless something's materialized over the course of the last 24 hours that I've been unaware of. But I think you can safely ignore all of that. I think Dobbs is in for a big year in Green Bay. I've been seeing all sorts of nonsense around his name, which is weird because, like, I understand there was that odd situation last year where I know Bill Huber reported that he was very unhappy with the game plan and his place in it, and he did not go to practice, and they had to send someone to his house and whatever. Very odd situation. But on the backside of that, he's been nothing but a total pro. And yes, certainly the head injuries and the concussions are a legitimate concern at the end of last season, but seems to have been totally fine coming back and doing everything he's been asked to do. Sat out a practice or two because of a back issue, because of a play that he made in practice, by the way, falling and hurting his back. I think it was the very last play of that practice. So then, yes, he didn't participate in Indianapolis, but it wasn't because he had an attitude or was refusing to go in. It's because he had a back problem. But then he was back out there yesterday. So, yeah, you can safely ignore all that. Preezy, thanks for the super chat. I am planning on attending the Bengals game. Any advice on parking? Thank you, sir. I mean, yeah, just you don't need to get very close. Like, people always try and, like, pass by the first kind of yard signs they see thinking they'll find a better deal or something closer. Just park the first place you see and then walk around. You're going to find a ton of people to talk to. People are going to offer you beers and brats, and you're going to have a great time on your way to however far you are away from the stadium, right? So if you're like 3 or 4 blocks away, it's not that big a deal. You're going to have a great time regardless. So definitely park in a yard, though. Don't worry about trying to get into lots or any of that nonsense. Just find a yard. Somebody will have a sign up and it'll say $20 or $40 or whatever it is. Park there. Get on with your life. I've known way too many people who spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to find the perfect spot. Just park and walk. You're fine. You're fine. It's more time to talk and eat and drink and enjoy Lambo. That is my advice to you. Evil Badger, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat, man. Any cheese that the November 2nd game gets flexed to 325? Eeyore doesn't want to get up there before the crack of dawn for a noon game. Sir, can we get past week one before we start worrying about flexes in, like, November? Buddy, brother, love you. But if the Packers are doing well, decent chance it gets flexed. If they're shitty, nope, probably not. There, I don't know what else to tell you. That's a pretty straightforward one. Simitovich, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Gambling will ruin all sports. Glad I quit. Danger. I mean, look, if people want to, that's their right, and they're allowed to. It's certainly legal now, and Godspeed. This is not my thing. It is certainly not my thing. And it took me a bit to get there. I was open to it, especially when it kind of flooded the sports waves, so to speak. But man, I am so over it now. And I think it is already doing some irreparable harm to especially young people, kids who have it all in their pocket on their phone now, right? Growing up in a way we did not, most certainly. And I don't think it's for the better. And I don't think it's a positive development in any way, shape, or form. E4, what's up? So how do you really feel about FanDuel? Don't hold back. I'm with you 100%. Insanely bad idea. It's not FanDuel specific. It's just all of it, right? BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings. Can't go 30 seconds in a football game without getting an ad for one of them, right? Or any kind of betting entity. I'm over it, man. That's all. FanDuel's fine. I worked for FanDuel for a year back in the day. Like three iterations of FanDuel ago at this point. But yeah, it's too much, man. Menace, yes, I did used to. Emphasis on used to. Underline, italicized. People evolve. That's the point. Rob, do I? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Remember the Mike Sherman-Warren Sapp confrontation? I'll never forget it. Warren Sapp telling him, put a jersey on. Man, look, Mike Sherman was a terrible general manager, but he was a much better football coach than most Packers fans give him credit for. And that moment in particular, confronting Warren after that hellacious cheap shot on Chad Clifton, and it was an incredible fucking cheap shot. That is one of his finest moments. I mean, you can say whatever you want about him as a GM. He certainly was in over his head in that regard. But as a coach and a leader of men, he was excellent. And that moment in particular shined a light on it. Absolutely. 1,000%. Kyler Fackrell, what a handle. Good to see an ex-Packer joining us. Hey, Nags, everyone seems to be worried about the cornerbacks, but the interior defensive line scares me. Kenny has regressed. Wide hasn't been consistent, and there's a lack of experienced depth. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by Kenny Clark this year. I think the regression you referred to was somewhat due to his playing out of position. And, of course, as we found out this offseason, dealing with a bum toe that he suffered there in week one. But, yeah, Kenny's not done. And I don't believe he's regressed. I think he's going to look a lot better playing at nose and with a foot that's right. As far as Wyatt goes, I understand that concern. The consistency has not been there. Certainly hasn't flashed this summer. But I would hold off worrying about it until we get to week one and we see what he's like in a live situation. Because that's something we haven't seen all summer. Not allowed to tackle. Not allowed to hit people, for God's sake. So I'm a little kind of hesitant to get too worried about that. And then I will tell you what, I'm excited about the depth along the interior, way more excited than I am about the depth at corner. I mean, I do think Colby Wooden has looked probably one of the most improved players on the team. I don't doubt for a moment Nazir Stackhouse is going to be involved in some way, especially on early downs, particularly against teams that like to run the football. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, Brinson might be able to give you something. We'll see. It's been up and down. It's very rookie-ish, right? I don't know, man. I'm not concerned about the interior of the defensive line. But, hey, we could get there week one. Maybe they get pushed around, and you can come back and tell me you told me so. I don't think you're going to be able to, but it's entirely possible because Negler's never right. Jake, what's going on, man? Thanks for Super Chat. Taking niece and nephew to joint practice tomorrow. Second practice of the year, third all time. Other two was Love out for contract a day before family night. Excited to see a live practice and interactions after. You're going to have a great time, man. And the fact that you're there for the final practice, the final public practice, is pretty great. Afterwards, they will certainly line the, you know, what do you call it? The end point there where the fans are and go around and shake hands and give you guys high fives. It's awesome. Really, really, really fun moment each and every summer. Jackie, I get asked this every year. What's one surprise cut you think could happen? Well, if I think it could happen, then it wouldn't be a surprise, would it? I don't know. Carl Brooks, talking about the interior of the defensive line. Carl Brooks is my one possibility that would be pretty shocking, but you want a surprise? That would be a surprise. Joe Mailman, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. The Taysom Hill summer in Green Bay was awesome. August legend. Yeah, and then he got cut, and they wanted to get him back on the practice squad, but the Saints said, not so fast, my friend. That was a summer. That was a time. The vibes were great until they weren't. Evil Badger, what's going on, man? Thanks again. I quit playing fantasy football because I couldn't root for the Packers if I had a player playing against the Packers. Ryan, you are not alone. I know that's why my good friend Corey Banky stopped playing fantasy football. I just load up on Packers, and it's why I'm not very good at fantasy football. But I do love, like, you know, I had Jordan as my quarterback last year. I had Jaden Reed on my team, which was frustrating down the stretch when Jaden Reed was not catching anything. But, yeah, I just load up. I have, you know, I picked up McManus when they signed him to be my kicker. You know, I just want, you know, the Packers do well. I want my fantasy team to do well. But again, that's not something that I'm advocating for any of those fantasy players out there. You don't want to go that route. Go Pack Go. What's going on, man? I never understood that situation with Dobbs because if I recall correctly, he had the most targets and second most receptions at that time that came out last year. Yeah, but who knows what the game plan was. Maybe not centered around him being the first target or the first option on most plays. Maybe he thought he should be. I don't know, man. We'll never really know because I know he'll never talk about it publicly. And I know he's been very dismissive of it and said it's not the case, but I'm not ever going to sit here and call Bill Huber a liar because Bill's the one who put it out there. And if he put it out there, I'm pretty sure he had it rock solid. So it's one of those moments that's always going to be a big, well, I mean, not big, but a little bit of a mystery. No doubt about it. Hype. What's up, Doug Hype? How you doing? One can dominate at fantasy football and Packer fandom if you drink Carry the G Cream Ale. It's one of the smartest things I've ever heard said on this here channel.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So cream and cold. And from the land of the green and gold.
Carry the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. Love it. Oh, man, I get someone remind Corey to send me some Carry the G. Still sitting here without any. Just unfortunate. Josh, that Cheesehead TV shirt you're wearing in a polo would be nice to wear around the office. Man, if you promise to wear around the office, if you can send me a photo, just respond right now in the chat that you pledge to send me a photo of you wearing this shirt in a polo in the office. I will do my utmost to get one of these in a polo style in our store because that would be flipping hilarious. What else we got? Everybody's like 1,000%. I'm in. What else we got? Staller of, you're late. Missed the 411 from Nags. You didn't miss anything. Well, we're talking beer. We're talking shirts. You know, we're talking defensive line a little bit, some cornerback stuff. But for the most part, you're not missing much. Isaiah, you're not wrong, man. Finished watching the recent Hard Knocks. Glad the Bears got their preseason Super Bowl against the Bills. Baby, wow. I mean, this is a group in the Bears fandom, right? They know. They've been through the ringer so many times, and yet every offseason they get crazier and crazier. And now this is like a dopamine hit, this preseason game. This whole week has been nuts seeing some of this stuff. There was some Bears fan who had a still shot, right, of Ben Johnson on the sideline and had the score underneath, like whatever, 28-0 or whatever it was. And he was like, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for all my life. Like, this is a team and a coach that's going to go far and could contend for a Super Bowl because of a preseason game. That's how deluded they are. It's just wild to me. You would think after so many years of having the rug pulled out from under you as a fan of a certain franchise, that you would approach with caution, with trepidation. But no, Bears fans keep running back into the same burning building year after year after year. It's wild to me. And I've said they're going to be a tough out this year. I do not doubt it for a moment, but it's going to be so hard. Nothing in the NFL is easy. They're not marching to any title or anything. You know, Ben Johnson, good coach. Is he a good head coach? We'll see. They got talent on both sides of the ball. I'm not denying that. But this idea that all of a sudden they're going to be some dominant force every year, too. That's the other thing. It doesn't matter if it's Ben Johnson. It just, they pick up some guys in free agency and they're like, oh, well, here we are. We've arrived. No concept of what it takes to be successful, let alone sustain success. I mean, their last sustained success was when? The 80s? The 80s? It's just wild to me, man. Fucking wild. Watched Gruden's NFC North breakdown. Man, does he love the Packers this year. He does. He loves Josh Jacobs. He loves the defense. Like, he's in on the Packers. And that is kind of a, maybe not a general theme, but I've certainly seen folks in the national sphere starting to kind of pick up and say, oh, the Packers could win they're probably going to win the division and things like that. Man, the talent is there and the upside is there and the potential is there. But that has been there these last two seasons. We talked about it all offseason long. This season is about taking that step, taking that kind of leap forward and, you know, putting the kind of potential in the youngest team and all that nonsense in the past and controlling football games, dominating teams, developing into the team that Brian hoped he was creating when he traded away Aaron Rodgers and jettisoned all that veteran talent. It's all great to have a concept of a plan, but that plan has to come to fruition this season. A lot riding on the 2025 Green Bay Packers regular season. No doubt about it. Menace, what's up? I remember the Tressman hype train when it crashed. Tressman. Remember when they were hyped about Tressman? Amazing. Absolutely incredible. So good. All right, buddy. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday. Oh, Cheetos here right at the last second with Super Chat. Sorry, missed most of this. Please start over. Not going to happen, Cheeto, but I'll be back tomorrow each and every day, Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Set your timer. You won't miss it. And make sure you subscribe to this channel. Put notifications on so you know when we're live. I know you're a busy man, Cheeto. I understand, but I appreciate you stopping by. Everybody, please do me a monster favor. Hit like, hit subscribe. If you're in New York City and you can hear my voice right now today as I'm recording live or later on the podcast, or maybe you're watching on YouTube later, don't forget Thursday night, this Thursday, that's tomorrow as I speak, our annual New York City Cheesehead TV meetup at Kettle of Fish starting at 7 p.m., I'll be there. Patrick will be there. Lots of Packers fans will be there. It's going to be a great time. I hope you can join us. Always a lot of fun. Always appreciate Patrick throwing open his doors for us, for our motley crew, as it were. But yes, please come by. Come drink some beer. Talk some Packers. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see you there. In the meantime, please hit like, hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.